Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are infertility issues, violence, past sexual assault, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Nitsako. That's how I'm going to say it. And it says, please do the next Ice Planet Barbarians book. Like a little throwback. Love y'all. Well, well, well.
Well, this week we're telling Riley all about Barbarian Lover by Ruby Dixon, which is the third book in the Ice Planet Barbarian series. And how many stars did you guys give this one on Goodreads?
I gave it 3 stars. It wasn't my favorite IPB.
Okay. I have to agree. It wasn't my favorite. I love the Ice Planet Barbarian series, though. So I gave it a 4. Just because I just love them.
This was a reread for me. The first time I gave it a 4, I think I would mark it down as like a 3.5 now that I'm more like of an alien romance connoisseur. But I still love it.
All right.
Kira's trying to sleep when her translator picks up on everyone in the cave fucking. Like, she can hear everything. Oh. And remember, she's the one that got the huge translator attached to her head so she could understand all of the aliens. She's one of the few human women who have not mated a big blue alien yet. In the morning, she eats her breakfast with the other bachelorette cave girls when Megan lets her know Ehako came looking for Kira earlier. She's not interested in Ehako, even though he is kind of hot.
Oh.
She has a conversation with Meg that leaves her in a weird mood thinking about everything that's happened so far. Ehako sees Kira leave the cave and he follows her. He's been obsessed with her since seeing her for the first time, even though their cooies have not responded.
Oh, I forgot about the cooey. My cock, however, pays attention when she is around. I want to find her and grip her against me, push her into the snow and fuck her until my name is on her lips. Okay, do it, little alien man.
He hurries to catch up with her to give her the present that he made for her as a courting gift. And I don't know if you remember from the last one, but Liz told him that it's tradition for humans to give a courting gift.
Yeah, I do. She's messing with him, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the gift was?
No.
Don't tell her, because I have it in here for her to describe in great detail.
Oh.
But before he can get to her, he's cornered by his old fling, Asha, and he tells her that he's not interested in her anymore. He has eyes for another, and then he pushes past her, easily finding Kira picking leaves from some of the herbs. He teases her about some of the herbs being for eyesight and then some for male potency.
I do not need it, of course, I tell her. My cock can stay erect for many hours without flagging. It is mostly for the elders or men that have been ill for a long time and wish to couple with their mates. He says, don't worry, my dick gets hard.
Hard. She tells him to go talk to his little friend Asha because she's not interested in him. Ehako can tell that she's clearly jealous of this female and he is totally into it. He switches the topic and asks if her translator hurts her, and if it does, he can try to remove it if she wants. She says it does hurt sometimes, but he can't remove it because it's surgically implanted into her head and she's already tried. He then presents his courting gift to her and it's wrapped in leather.
It fills my hands and is about a foot long and thick like a baseball bat. I unwrap it slowly and then stare. Surely that's not. Is this your, penis? He nods proudly. It's a very good likeness. I worked hard to get it just right. Of course, the others think I'm mad for staring at my own cock for hours while I whittle.
So he literally made her a wooden dildo.
That's kind of cool.
It's almost a foot long and the size of a baseball bat.
I mean, yeah, very scary.
They're 7 feet tall. Like, their dicks have to be that long or else it would look hilarious.
I feel like she could use that to, you know, break herself in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I feel like wood would be a little ouchy, though.
Yeah. Is there a glaze on it? Is it sanded?
It is, like, smooth. But what if it doesn't stay smooth?
A little splinter.
Oh, a splinter?
Mm.
Yeah. She is absolutely horrified and pushes it back to him, saying that she can't take this. Now he's confused and wants to know if she is into someone else. He tells her Liz told him she would like this, and when she mutters that she's going to kill Liz for this, he knows that it was all a funny joke for Liz, and he thinks it's fucking hilarious. Like, he loves the joke.
Oh, that's so funny. He's like, oh, I get it.
He refuses to take back the dildo, so she wraps it up and he leaves. Once she's back inside, she brings all the herbs to Malek, which, if you remember, that's their healer. It's now been several days since her run-in with Ahako, and she kind of misses him. But all the hunters are now back, including Liz and Rahash.
And they were the ones that got exiled because he, like, technically kidnapped Liz. And so they were like, you have to go stay in your own cave.
Kira tells Liz all about the possible cave expansion they're going to do when a loud scream pierces the air. Megan has just resonated with the male, and now it's time to celebrate. Everyone is getting, like, this, I put it in here as, like, war paint, but it's not like war paint. It's like celebration paint. So they're doing like markings all over their faces and arms and stuff like that. And they have this alcohol type drink. Ahako gets painted by a younger child and then offers to take some of the paint and alcohol to Kira so she might be more inclined to celebrate. Because he says that she has sad eyes. He calls her sad eyes.
Aww.
They share some of the drink as they watch the couples dance, and then he starts to paint her, and he admits that he learned what a kiss is.
You are so soft, Kira, Ahako says, nuzzling at my unmodified ear. Are you this soft everywhere? He muses. If I explored you between your legs, would I find you this soft? Yeah, you would. You would. It's like velvet.
But there's no razors. He would find a bush.
He's ready to go bushwhacking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Bush represent.
Honestly.
Am I right, girls?
Yeah. It's only me and you, girl. Only me and you.
Yeah. Me and Charlotte are like, that life ain't for me.
He's not sure what to do now, but she takes the lead and she starts making out with him.
Oh, wow.
They're both vibing and enjoying their makeout sesh when she pulls away, lust filling her vision. He tells her they can go to his cave right now, but she stops talking and cups the device on her ear. She hears other translations coming through and she recognizes the voices as the little green men. So they're near. The ones that kidnapped all of them.
Like the little basketball head ones?
Yeah. That's what they're called. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, 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 boop.
She hears that they're making a plan to land on the planet to come back for their cargo.
They're the cargo.
Yeah.
Ahako thinks that her immediate shift is because of him, and she tries to tell him it's just all too complicated, and she excuses herself. As he goes back to his cave, unfortunately, Asha is there, and he tells her to leave and that she's not wanted. She keeps making multiple advances at him, and he's like, bitch, I don't like you.
Get out, ugly.
She does as he says, but not before telling him that he's clearly unwanted by the human woman.
And he's like, I don't care. I want a human, not an alien bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calls her an alien, but they're like the same species.
Fucking alien.
The next day, Ahako watches Kira approach Vectel and Georgie. She tells them that she wants to go to the mothership to get the language scan done to her in hopes that she can remove the earpiece once and for all. Kira also mentions taking parts from the mothership for stone carving to make more room for everyone in the caves. Vectel agrees, and just then Ahako steps up telling her that he will be the one to take her to the mothership. They will leave tomorrow at first light with three other hunters and three other humans who also need the language zap.
Aren't the blue aliens, Ahako and all of them, aren't they much bigger than those other aliens though?
Yeah, but the other aliens have like guns and stuff.
Oh.
They're like more technology advanced.
Yeah.
Later that night over dinner, Ahako asks Kira if they want to postpone because the weather's gonna start getting worse. She says nonsense, but he drags her outside to see that there is a whole bunch more snow than earlier and a breeze blowing in another storm. He finally asks if she'll share what's troubling her, and she twists the truth a little bit, telling him that she fears the aliens will come back for the girls and she lives in fear over it.
Girl, tell him.
He tells her anything can happen, but if they live in fear, it prevents them from enjoying what they have today. He then caresses her face and she wants him bad. They start kissing and he palms her breasts until she stops him from moving any further. He waits for her to lead, so she takes his hand and puts it under her shirt for him to play with her nipples.
His fingers dip lower and brush against the curls of my pubic pubic hair. Ah, and this. I forgot about this. Her pussy?
Yeah.
She's going bushwhacking.
Yeah.
Oh.
She gets embarrassed, but he tells her not to. He's learning to love the differences between the humans and them. And he's definitely going to touch himself thinking about her pubic hair.
Oh, yeah. He said, that is a nice bush.
That is a great bush.
Once again, bush girlies unite.
She moves her hands along his chest, feeling his nipples and then down to his waistline.
Keep exploring me, Kira. I don't intend on stopping with you. And his mouth captures mine again just as his fingers move lower and touch my folds. I bet this tastes like the sweetest nectar. Ugh, nectar.
And do you remember what the blue aliens call the human woman's clit?
Fuck, what was it? No, I don't remember. I remember it being, like, silly.
He finds her third nipple and she knows she should tell him that's not what it's called. But it feels too good. She comes on his hand and then he brings his fingers to his mouth, cleaning them off. They stare at each other and all Aheiko can think is,
she's mine. Resonance or not, Kira is my female, my mate, and I'll challenge any male that thinks otherwise. I hold her possessively, watching the expressions moving over her small human face. Oh, he loves her.
And then she shoves him away, saying that they should not have done that because they aren't mates. He tries to say that doesn't matter, but she changes the subject, asking if they're leaving in the morning. He says it's not a good idea, but if she wants to convince him otherwise, she needs to tell him what's really bugging her. She says, okay, but on one condition, he can't tell anyone. He agrees, and she tells him the truth. The aliens are coming back for them, and they can locate her because of the translator.
So is she, like, worried they're gonna kill her?
No, she's worried about the other girls more than herself, because mostly everyone is with their mate, and they're happy. So she doesn't want them to be taken again.
Aheiko isn't fucking around when his sweetie pie is in danger. He said, tell me everything. So she does. He tells her he will still go with her, but they need to tell the other so they know that they are being potentially put in danger. Kira opens up to him and tells him she just wants this thing out of her ear and she's very scared. And he's sympathetic to her. He says, hey, you want to come in my furs and I can distract you?
Men. Come in my furs.
It's the next morning and Kira tells Bechdel and Georgie about the green dudes and altogether as one, they decided that just Kira and Aheiko are to go. Only Harlow, one of the girls that was set to originally go, is not taking no for an answer. She must see the rundown ship, which is like the mothership. Even though they don't tell her why it's dangerous, she really doesn't care and she is set on still going. Kira tries talking to Aheiko and telling him, hey, listen, maybe I should just go alone. If you go with me, we can't have casual hookups. Like, I'm not that kind of girl. You shouldn't sign up to be in a relationship with me. And he's like, girl, are you done talking? And then just like pulls her into a hug because she's just like babbling on.
She wants him.
She does. He tells her if she resonates for someone else, he will be so happy for her. But until that point, from the second she stepped foot on this planet, she was his and he knows what she is to him. We or not? Is that what it's called? Queen or not?
I listened to the audiobook and it said Kui, but my head says Kui.
Kui.
It's the Kui.
The Kui.
Kui, Kui. Oh, it pronounces it Kui?
Kui.
Kui. Kui. I don't like that as much.
Me either. It's not fun.
Harlow, Hayden, Kira, and Aheiko set off on their journey and it is cold as fuck. She's trekking along until she can't anymore and Aheiko carries her until they reach the cave for shelter. They lay down on their furs, stripping off wet clothes to dry overnight. As they're laying down together, she starts feeling his naked body. She asks him what he would like to do, and he tells her he needs her to stop because he's about to come all over the walls of this cave if she continues to touch him.
I also thought she told him no casual hookups or anything. So
she did.
What are you doing, ma'am?
Mixed signals.
Yeah. My hand encounters hard, hot flesh. A lot of it. I'm not entirely sure that this is a normal size, but maybe it's normal for aliens. I grip his cock in my hand, wrapping my fingers around him. I can feel veins, and there's a thick set of ridges running along the top that reminds me of his brow. The head feels bigger than the rest, and my fingers encounter slickness there. Are you supposed to be wet? I ask, a little scandalized. My seed cannot seem to stay inside when you touch me, he murmurs, and his mouth traces my brows. Your touch is too exciting. He says, baby girl, I am jizzing my pants.
Yeah.
I'm wet.
He's not wearing pants at all, so he's just like spewing out.
Ew.
And with a giggle on her lips, she relaxes and then falls asleep. She's like, good night. When Aheiko wakes up, he finds Hayden outside looking at the snow in front of the cave, and there's footprints there that are a few hours old, signaling that someone followed them to the cave. It's different enough from the alien feet, but definitely not human. So they don't know who or what it was, but someone definitely followed them, and they're worried that it's one of the green aliens.
Yeah, oh my god.
Kira, because of her translator, overhears them, and she starts packing up, and she's like, all right, time to go. We're not risking this. And she goes to the mothership, Elder Cave, but on their way, her transmitter picks up another conversation with the green men. They say they're going to land very soon and they plan to recover the tube girls. She tells Aheiko immediately and they book it. They get to the mothership computer and initiate the lockdown sequence. They decide that no one can enter or exit without the password Georgie, making it so both parties had a password that was easily remembered, and most importantly, that no green aliens could come in. Hayden guards the door while Harlow explores the ship, and Kira and Aheiko go straight to the medical bay to try to get her earpiece out. They get to the medical bay, and they meet with the alien computer, and they try to get her transmitter removed from her ear. Aheiko says, Kira, even if this doesn't work, I want you to be my mate. And she's like, what? You haven't even resonated with me. What are you talking about?
He don't care.
And he's like, yeah, girl, we're just gonna choose this. It doesn't matter what our bodies think.
He says, we are going against all odds. Me and you, baby.
He says, we choose to be mated for each other until we're separated. And she's like, separated. So like, till death do them part, period.
Okay.
She's like, what if you resonate with someone else? And he's very much like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's just live in the moment. And she's like, how can we do that?
She is a type A girly. She needs a plan. She needs to know what is happening.
And Ahaka is just vibing.
Yeah, he is. I like him. Do you guys like him?
Yeah. She's worried, though, that she's holding him back because when she was a child, she had appendicitis and got, I think, septic shock from it. And they told her that not all of her organs would work. And she thinks that she's unable to carry children. And that's why she's not resonating with any of the aliens, because all of the people that have resonated so far can all bear children and stuff. So she's like, I'm holding you back. I don't think that we should resonate.
Oh, poor girl.
They get her translator removed. And they were like, do you want us to remove one or both? And she's like, oh, what do you mean both?
Because it detects the Kui. And it's like, we detect a parasite. And she's like, no, keep it. Keep the Kui. Because remember, they'll die without their Kui.
That's right. Like, the atmosphere is not for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On not Hoth.
Star Wars reference that we don't understand.
I will never get it.
When they removed her little earpiece show, she was really worried that it was going to hurt. But they're like, no, don't worry. You're going to take a little surprise nap. So when Kira wakes up, they go to the bathroom and they take a nice hot shower together. So he washed her and took nice good care of her in the shower. And they had a cute little steamy makeout session.
Ooh.
He said, Kira, you will not protest this. You are my mate, girl. Wee-wee or not. I know it's there. It's just deep, deep down. And you're my girl. And that's when she finally tells him the news of her childhood appendicitis issue.
So after she tells him that she doesn't think she will be able to bear children for him, he tells her that he literally doesn't care. She is his heart and his mate, and all he wants is her. He says the moment he saw her, he knew she was the one for him. Then he asks if she still has the phallus he made for her, and she says yes. She wanted to see how accurate it was, and he grabs her hand and puts it on his dick and says, be my mate.
He says, I am not taking no for an answer.
Tell me no when your hand's on my dick.
Yeah.
She finally agrees and she starts to stroke him, but the hot water runs out and they have to jump out of the shower. And he tells her to let him warm her up.
You are beautiful, I tell her. She is. Her human limbs are dewy with water, her skin gleaming with smoothness. Her eyes, blue with Kui seam, big and bright in her face, and her hair slicked back against her skull, making her seem even more fragile than usual. Her chest heaves with nervousness, and each short breath makes her breasts jiggle enticingly. Her legs are curled together, but soon I shall lick her between them and taste her honey.
He explores her body and eventually starts to kiss her all over, thinking to himself he really needs to woo her before he dives in to finally taste her between the legs. She's moaning as he starts licking and sucking her nipples, and he tells her she tastes as good as he imagined. He starts to kiss lower lower and lower until she sees what he's about to do and she tries to stop him.
Have you ever had a male lick your honey before? Her face flares a bright crimson. Just you, before. Ah, yes, it's a good memory and one that fuels my lusty fantasies of my hand dipping between Kira's legs and teasing her until she comes, then licking her sweetness off my fingers, even as it frosts. Then I shall be your first and last, I tell her, and find a bizarre amount of pleasure in this bold statement. She will never be anyone else's but mine.
Ever.
Is that a threat?
Or a promise? He opens her legs and dives right on in and says he wants to lick all of her. She loves it, but Ahako loves it even more. She comes as he sucks on her third nipple. And he tells her that her cunt tastes sweeter than he ever imagined. He checks to see how wet she is, and she is soaked.
Soaked.
Hell soaked.
So he decides it's time for banging. She tells him he feels really big when he slides it in, and he's like, yeah, because I am.
Duh. He's like, bitch, do you see me? I'm giant.
This is a huge dick. And he slams in all in one go, and she cries in pain, but he tells her the pain will pass soon. He starts to thrust when she's ready, and as she feels his spur and ridges, she starts to come again. He keeps the pace up and then comes louder than she does. She's like, eh, and he's like,
good for him.
They fall asleep together, and a few hours later, Kira wakes up to head to the bathroom to check out her ear. The device is gone, and she double checks with the computer that it's all out of her and completely destroyed. She's not tired, so she goes to find Harlow and finds her drilling something together, and she tells Kira she's trying to make a rock cutter. And she has this whole theory that the cave that everyone's living in was created using a rock cutter from recycled material from the ship. So she wants to try and carve out more spaces for everybody.
Oh, crafty girl.
Harlow tells her that she heard them fucking earlier and lets her know that if Kira's happy, then she's happy for her too. Kira says she's so, so incredibly happy and they're mates now because they decided they would be no matter what. She jumps in and starts helping Harlow with her project and they chit chat a little bit. They do the language translator thing with the computer so they can understand the guys, and Kira decides to also try to learn the little green alien language, which is the aliens that brought them here.
Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop, beep boop, beep boop, boop.
When that's all over, Kira suggests they search the spaceship for guns, even if they don't work, just to have some sort of leverage if they run into the bad guys. So that way they can be like, don't come any closer, I have a gun.
Yeah.
She also asks the computer to merge its data to the data on the ship that's hovering in the atmosphere, just in case she gets captured, because she wants to be able to take them down. So she's thinking like 10 steps ahead.
Women. Smart.
Then Ahako tells her the ship has arrived and the guys are going to go out and speak to the aliens, but Kira's like, no, this is my fight. I'm going.
Okay, Kira.
Which, like, why would you go out there? You have, like, 2 7-foot-tall dudes yeah. that are willing to take care of it. But she's like, no, I'm gonna go.
I 100% would be like, you guys go.
Yeah, go ahead. Ahako is pissed, but she can't be stopped. She walks out and tells them to get the heck out of here. And they try to tell her they mean no harm. They just want to take her and the other girls and give them a good life. And she's like, that's bullshit. Besides, we have the Kui. We can't leave.
Yeah.
The alien gets pissed and is like, our masters will be out a lot of money if you don't come with us. But she pulls out her gun and is like, stay back or I'll shoot.
Okay.
Shoot him.
The aliens don't believe that the girls can't leave the planet and decide to take them anyway, and they approach her. Ahako and Hayden barge out to stop them, but they get shot, and now Kira is freaking out and is like, leave them alone, I'll come with you. And the aliens are like, all right.
They're like, yeah, we just got what we wanted, thank you.
And Ahako doesn't come to until Kira is already gone, so when he wakes up, she's been alien napped.
What the fuck?
And Hayden is even more wounded than Ahako. Like, he's not even conscious yet. And Ahako can't even go after Kira without leaving Hayden and Harlow to die. So he's kind of forced to stay. He wants to go after Kira, but he'd basically be sacrificing his oldest friend, Hayden, and Harlow.
What a pickle.
Meanwhile, Kira's on the ship with the aliens, but she has a secret plan up her sleeve. She's dumped into what looks like an operating room. The aliens start talking about how they want to do experiments on her to study the Kui.
Oh.
They bring her to a cell and when she's alone, she takes the packet she smuggled in from her cheek and opens an air vent. And I guess it was some bacteria from the ship that should kill the aliens since they don't have a Kui, and she just, like, dumps it all into the air vent.
Hell yeah. It's fucking smart. It's because she's a woman.
A few hours later, a guard stumbles in to take her somewhere else, but she can tell he's hella sick, so she kicks him and steals his gun.
Get it.
And then she shoots him right in the head.
Oh, she's a changed woman.
She's ruthless now. The door's locked, so she has to shoot his hand off and use it to open the door back up, and she has to, like, carry his severed hand around the ship.
Yeah, because they're like biometric doors.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Women in STEM.
Period.
Literally.
She starts making her way through the ship, but it's empty aside from a few dead aliens. Then she figures out how to fly the ship.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She, like, touches a bunch of stuff with the hand, and then it moves, and then she uses the little steering wheel, and she's just, like, cruising in the spaceship.
Oh, my God.
And then she drives the spaceship directly into a mountain and hops into an escape pod before the ship explodes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What a nice turn of events for her.
Yeah, and she's, like, thinking to herself, she's like, damn, I'm kind of a badass.
I mean, yeah.
Honestly, best case scenario.
Yeah.
A Hako sees the explosion, and he thinks Kira is dead, and he is devastated. Then he hears a humming sound coming from the ground, and it's her escape pod. Kira steps out, and he grabs her and kisses her hungrily. He starts thinking that they're gonna fuck right here, but she notices he's wounded and makes him stop, even though he couldn't care less if he's hurt right now. Hayden, a Hako, and Kira head back to the caves, but Harlow is missing. So Harlow went to go get some sticks or something to make some sort of tool to help carry Hayden's unconscious body back.
Yeah, like a gurney.
She just never came back. Her book's the next book. We find out what happened to her.
Oh.
She said, bye, see you never.
On the way back to the caves, they run into Liz and Rahash, who are on their way to the caves too because they saw the ship explode on the mountain and they wanted to know what happened. They all finally make it home and Hayden goes to the healer. She meets Ahako's parents and also his ex, Asha, who tries to get all up on him, but Kira slaps her hand away and tells her to keep her filthy mitts off her mate.
Yeah.
And then Ahako's mom's like, you resonated? And he says, no, but we are mates regardless. And his mom's just like, that's great. Cool. Love that for you guys.
I love that. Everyone's so, like, chill and open-minded. Uh-huh.
His mom tells him that they're opening a second cave. So now that they're mated, they can probably move there for more privacy. Because if they were to stay in the caves that they're at now, Ahako and Kira would have to live with Ahako's parents and his little brother. And they're, like, trying to bang all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
The next day, Kira wakes up refreshed from a good night's sleep and catches up with everyone. Vectel and Ahako decide how to divide everybody up between the two caves, and he will now be in charge of the new group. Kira and Ahako go to explore the new cave system and also to get some private time to bang. She opens her bag and brings out the phallus Ahako made for her, and he thinks this is hilarious and also very sexy. He rips off his loincloth and starts to stroke his dick.
His big ol' foot-long dick. I lick and suck at her nipple, teasing it with the rigid tip of my tongue. Her soft cries tell me that she likes this very much, and I can feel the wetness from between her legs seep onto my thigh. My other hand moves there to her cunt, to dip into her sweet honey. She's hot and soaked under the dark curls between her legs. Her folds juicy and waiting for my tongue. My mouth waters at the thought. Sweet honey.
Juicy folds.
Juicy folds. Juicy, juicy folds.
He decides instead of fucking her with his real dick, he wants to fuck her with his fake dick. He tells her to flip over onto her stomach and slides it into her, but the spur pokes her booty hole, and she doesn't hate it.
Oh.
Then he gets jealous of his own fake dick, and now it's time for him to fuck her for real.
Yeah. They haven't fucked this entire time.
They fucked that one time.
Yeah, just the once.
In the spaceship.
That's right, that's right.
He slides into her, and his spur goes right into her butt. She loves it, and she comes hard. A couple of days later, they're all moved into their new home. And then, a few days later, Ahako's chest starts to vibrate. He's resonating. His ex thinks it's for her, but it's not. It's for Kira. The end.
Wow.
Yeah, they end up resonating.
Cute.
So that's the third book. What'd you think about it?
I liked that one.
How many red pepper emojis?
I think 4. I'd give it 4. I like Ahako.
Yeah, he's very much like Golden Retriever.
Yeah, I love that.
He's just vibing, living in the moment.
Yeah, he's a chill guy.
Do you think he's sexy?
Sure, why not? He's hot too, isn't he?
He's like
one of the hotter aliens.
I mean, he's big and blue with like horns.
Yeah.
So if that's your thing, yeah.
Sexy.
Would you trade places with Kira?
I don't think I've traded places with them in any of them. And I'm gonna have to go with no.
That's fair.
It sounds scary still. I know they're like making it a home, you know, but like still scary.
It's like hella cramped in there too. I know that they just opened up a second cave at the end, but like hella cramped. I would be so claustrophobic.
Yeah, I'd probably have a freak out like every day.
Well, next week we're telling Riley all about Notice by Kay Webster, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay. This looks like it's going to be a book all about sex.
Yeah.
So it has a woman on the cover. She's wearing like a black lace dress, and this man in a suit is behind her. You can't see his face, but he's putting a necklace on her, and it says T-minus 14 days. I feel like this is going to be some like rich man, not necessarily poor girl. Maybe she's like middle class of sorts, you know? But rich man.
Think about the 14 days. 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think this man is going to see her, okay? He's going to see her. Maybe they're going to be in, like, a crowded area or, like, a business venture of sorts. He's going to see her. She's going to catch his eye. And then he's going to be really into her, try to get her attention. Maybe she'll be into it. The 2 weeks thing is really getting me, though. Maybe he has to do something in 2 weeks.
Maybe she said she was going to do something in 2 weeks.
What are you doing? You've never helped me with this. What are you doing?
You're, like, you're doing so good.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're doing so good.
I feel like if you just got the 2 weeks thing, you would have it.
Yeah.
Why do you want me to guess it?
I mean, I'm not going to, like, spoil anything.
Does she have court in 2 weeks?
Jury duty.
No.
I've been watching a lot of court talk lately.
She's been subpoenaed.
She does give a piece of paper.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks.
I'm giving you my
virginity.
Oh my God. I'm giving you my
sound it out.
I literally have said every single word you need to say.
I'm giving you my 2 weeks. Oh, she's quitting. Okay. Oh, so he's like her rich boss. Something like that. I don't know. You're going to make me mess it all up. I was going good.
You were doing so good.
Keep going.
Yeah.
You want me to keep going?
Keep going.
No.
Tell us your story.
My imagination can't go that far.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yay.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.